I read about a man one time that his ever-loving wife, they were on a vacation over in the Holy Land, and she passed away over there. And they were trying to decide what they were going to do, and the undertaker over there in Jerusalem said, you can have her shipped home for $5,000, or you can bury her right here in the Holy Land for $150, and it's done. The man thought about it, and he thought about it, and he wasn't a very religious man, but he said, you know, he says, I think I'll have her shipped home. He says, man, he says, why would you have her shipped home for $5,000? You can get her done here for $150. She's in the Holy Land. It's a very spiritual experience. He says, I think that would be a lot cheaper. The man thought about it, and he said, you know, he says, long ago I heard about a man that died here, and he was buried here. But 3 days later, he rose again. He said, I'm not going to take that chance. We're sending her home. Amen. So, oh, amen. You know, they had in a university, I read one time about an English teacher that was explaining how over the years, for some reason, it seems we always give the feminine gender association to things in the English language. And, you know, such things, you know, they used to name hurricanes after females only. I think I could understand that, but being politically correct today, we had to bring the men's names into it as well. But you know, they'd always talk about a ship or a plane as, oh, isn't she a beauty, or she flies great, or whatever. The teacher was thinking about that, and so he gave his class an assignment and said, in this computer age we live, let's think about it and let's decide what gender we would give to naming a computer, he or she. And so he says, let's do this. He divided the group of men into one area and the ladies into another, and they decided what they're going to do. After some discussion and some time, the women concluded that computers should be referred to in the masculine gender because, for men, they do have a lot of data but are still clueless. They're supposed to help you solve problems, but most of the time they are the problem. And as soon as you commit to one, you realize that if you just waited a little longer, you could have had a better model. Amen? Of course, the men came back and they looked at it as well and they said, no doubt about it, they need to be referred to by the feminine gender. And the reason was because, number one, no one but their creator understands their internal logic. The native language they use to communicate with each other is incomprehensible to everyone else. Thirdly, if your smallest mistakes are stored in long-term memory, they are always brought up for later retrieval. And finally, again, as soon as you make a commitment to one, you do find yourself spending half your paycheck on accessories for it. Amen? Anyway, John chapter number 21. Let's get to the word tonight. I want to ask you this question in the form of a title for this message. Very simply, are you in or are you out? Are you in or are you out? Without turning there, let me just read to you Psalm 16, verse number 11. David said these words. He said, thou wilt show me the path of life, and in thy presence is fullness of joy. And at thy right hand there are pleasures evermore. I want you to listen to that one statement out of Psalm 16, 11. David said this, in thy presence is fullness of joy. Think about the time or the opportunity or the joy of being in the presence of someone. Remember, gentlemen, before you did get married and you were dating and you could hardly wait to be in the presence of that young lady that so attracted you. After you said you did and you done, many times later you find more joy being in front of the hockey game than in front of her presence. But before you were married, you enjoyed. Ladies, same situation. You could hardly wait to be in the presence of the one that you so loved. Finding the presence of somebody special and being involved in that presence brings great joy. David said, in thy presence, O Lord, is fullness of joy. I think we understand the principle that there is a difference between happiness and joy. Happiness is controlled by circumstances. We can buy things, we can purchase things, we can get things, and for a while they bring happiness to our life. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But we understand that these things that bring happiness for a while, eventually that happiness runs out. You know what it's like when you buy a brand new car, and man, oh man, it means something to you. Boy, I tell you, you polish it, you take care of it, you clean it for a while. I had my first actual brand new car about 6-7 years ago. I got a brand new Impala, still driving it today. But in 2003, it was brand new. Never had a new car in my life. And man, I was so, I thank the Lord. I didn't want to be wrong. I didn't want to covet it. I didn't want it to become poor, but I did like it. Man, it was beautiful. You get in that thing, the smell of a new car, just something about it. Man, I was so proud. It was over Mansfield and Heil. I got that thing and I drove it home and I pulled into our parking in our driveway, which is, most of it concrete, but there's a little section of it that was gravel. And man, I pulled in, I parked over to the side. It was a nice August day. And man, I came out front, sat down on our front patio there and was drinking an iced tea. And I just sort of looked over the car and went, man, a brand new basic Impala. Boy, have I made it. I tell you, that thing was shining. It was beautiful. Out comes my daughter at that time. I won't tell you which one. But my youngest daughter comes out and she goes over. And for some unknown reason, I'm not lying to you. This is the honest truth. The first day I brought it home. And she comes out and she's talking with me and she goes down near the gravel. And I sip my tea and I'm looking at the paper. And the next thing I hear is this clank on the car. I looked over and she's standing down in the gravel with this look of, oh boy, am I in trouble. And she was in trouble. And she took that thing, that stone from the gravel and decided to throw it and it hit the car. I couldn't believe it. I walked over the car and as clear as day on the back trunk, here's this little ding mark and a little chip. I looked down at her and said, what are you doing? Do you not know this is my new car? I just bought this. It's just come into the driveway. I haven't had it 2 hours. What are you doing?
Well, I didn't mean to.
That doesn't help. I don't care whether you meant to or not. Needless to say, we had a little meeting after that. God sometimes has a way of humbling us with things that bring us happiness, right? Since that time, it's got all types of little dings and types of stone chips and little scratches and scrapes. Things can bring us happiness for a while, but essentially before long, they run out. I remember when I got a brand new bike. I may have told you this before. I think it was my 10th birthday. No, it was Christmas. And man, I came down. I remember Markham, Ontario there, and I walked into that rec room downstairs, and man, there was that beautiful gold bike. Had the banana seat. Remember the high handlebars? That thing was beautiful. Of course, it was December, and we had a ton of snow. I couldn't drive it till like March. And man, that thing was nice. And boy, I remember when the snow finally cleared and the roads were dry and I took that thing out. I loved it. It was beautiful. Man, I'd bring it home and I remember pulling down into that driveway and parking it so carefully, putting the kickstand up, leaning it. Man, after it rained or whatever mud, I'd take it into the garage and get the cloth and clean all around the wheel well of it and the spokes and kept it all. That lasted about 3 weeks. Within time, I can remember driving in, not putting up in the kickstand anymore, just jumping off of it and just letting it go and fall wherever it did. Brought me some happiness for a few weeks, and it was important, but before long, just became old. I'm just saying, folks, there's nothing wrong with things bringing us happiness. I don't think God looks down upon that in a negative way. I'm just saying, happiness comes and it goes. It fades. Just like the things that bring us happiness. But joy is something that is to be rooted in our soul, and real joy and true joy that is everlasting comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. David said, in thy presence is fullness of joy. I want to ask you tonight, I'm not asking, are you happy? Because happiness is dependent upon circumstances and things. But let me ask you tonight, do you know and do we have the joy of the Lord? And if we do, it has to be because we are in the presence of God. And my question to you tonight is, are you in or are you out? Are you living in the presence of God or are you out of the presence of God? If you're in, I believe you're going to know the joy of the Lord. If you're not there, you're going to miss the joy that God wants you to have. In thy presence is fullness of joy. In John chapter number 21, the Bible records a story of the resurrected Lord. We pick up what happened before because the Bible says in John 21, the first three words, after these things. Now, in order to understand that, we've got to go back to what the Lord was talking about in chapter number 20. What things? After what things? After the Lord Jesus Christ had been crucified and he was buried and he rose again, it was in that time period between his resurrection and his ascension. He meets with his disciples in chapter 20 and he deals with them and lets them know that he is going to leave. He is going to head through the ascension back to be with his Father in heaven. And he tells them that there is going to one that come, the Comforter, and he is going to give you the peace and the comfort and the power to do the work that God has called him to do. And so he tells them, verse 26, right at the end, he says, "Peace be unto you." And he knows that will be given to them through the power of the Holy Spirit of God. He deals with Thomas, old doubting Thomas, the one who wouldn't believe. Of course, he sees the risen Lord, and he sees the nail prints in his hands and the spear mark in his side, and he says, "My Father," or "My Lord and my God." He understands he has seen the risen Lord. And after all this takes place, he says this in chapter 20 of verse 30, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book." Sometimes I wonder what those signs were. I wonder what the Lord allowed them to see and feel and know that for whatever reason, the Lord saw fit not to put in our blessed Bible. But after that's all done, in verse 31, he says, "These are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name." After these things, listen to this now, this is important. After the Lord appeared to his men, and he proved to them undeniably that he was alive, and he had risen from the grave, and he was the Christ, the Messiah, even went face to face with old doubting Thomas and proved to him, said, "Look at my hands, look at my side." After all of this was done, I want you to notice what happens. Verse number 2. "There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael and Cana of Galilee and the sons of Zebedee," that's James and John, "and others were there," the disciples. And verse number 3 is where I want to zero in and begin tonight. "Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. I go a-fishing." I want you to notice that Jesus Christ was with his men and his men were in the presence. They saw him, they saw the resurrected Lord, but for whatever reason, after it was all said and done and the disciples went on their way, and we're not sure how many days, it couldn't have been very long because we understand from the resurrection until the ascension, it wasn't very many days. But Peter decides, you know what, guys? It's not worth it. It's not worth it anymore. I understand the commission the Lord gave us, and I understand the commission he gave me, but you know what? I just don't understand it all. I don't get what's going on. You know what? I'm going back to fish for fish. At this moment, I want you to know with me tonight that they began to live out of God's presence. They took it upon themselves, a choice that Peter made, and he said, "I'm done, I'm going fishing." And he went back, instead of fishing for men, to fish for fish. I don't know why, I don't understand all the reasoning, but whatever it was, he decided to make that choice. And what I want you to understand tonight, folks, yes, David said to us, in the presence of God is fullness of joy. You say, "Preacher, I don't have any joy in my life." Are you in his presence? "I don't have any joy in my walk with God today." Are you in his presence? "I don't have any joy in my service for the Lord. Has it become a fleshly, carnal thing, a thing of duty rather than a thing of service because you're in the presence of God?" You see, if we're lacking joy, it has to be because we are out of the presence of God. And so here, Peter steps out of the presence of God and begins to live for himself. And I want you to notice tonight in the phrase, "I go a-fishing," he went back to the days before his commitment to Christ. When he got saved, he decided to accept God's call. And Jesus said unto Peter, "I'm going to make you a fisher of men. Follow me." And if you look in the Gospels, you will see that Peter followed Christ. And I believe there were some hard times and valleys and trials, but he was in the presence of Christ, literally and physically. But here he steps out of God's presence and he begins to live away from it. And his choice was, "I'm going back to do what I used to do. I'm going fishing." Folks, we've been saved. Many of us have been saved for many, many years. And do you know it takes work? It takes hard work to stay where we're supposed to be in our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't come naturally. And I'm telling you tonight, if we want to know the fullness of joy, we've got to stay in the presence of God. And I'm telling you tonight, if you want that, you better not go back to your days before you were saved. You better not even go back to the days after salvation of discontentment and not serving God. That's what the devil wants. And if he can do it to Peter, I believe he can do it to us. Isn't it a sad thing to find so many people? I've talked at our church a few times down there in Ashland, and I've said to our leaders and so on, do you know if we had everybody that came through this ministry over the last 15 years and got saved and baptized and joined the church, if every one of them were still here, we'd be running a church over 1,000, no doubt about it. But you know what some people chose to do? They chose to step out of the presence of God and go back to fishing. And as I let my mind's mind wander sometimes and I go through our roles and I look over things, I mean name after name after name after name of people that chose to go back fishing rather than staying in the presence of God. It all starts with a choice. It's up to you and it's up to me. David said, in the presence of God is fullness of joy. Let me ask you today, have you chosen possibly to step out of God's presence? Have you gone back fishing? Many times, as I said, we go back to our days before our salvation. Let's not let it happen. But I want you to notice, secondly, if we're living out of God's presence, we usually take others with us. We take others with us. Notice what Peter said in verse 3. He says, I go a-fishing. And they say unto him, we also go with thee. Misery loves company. It always does. I want to encourage you today, think about it, Christian, today. Are you living out of the presence of God? Have you lost the joy of your salvation? Maybe it's because, and possibly because, you've gone back fishing. You've stepped back to the old path in the old way. Many times may it be true, and it is true, that we take others with us. What a sad thing it is when somebody decides to make a wrong choice for themselves, but then try to involve others. Be careful of it. Mainly, we don't have to deal with this a whole lot as adults, even though it does happen. But young people tonight may encourage you, don't make the wrong choice. Don't go back to the ways of the world. Don't go back to the old fishing for fish. And don't let anybody take you with them. Sometimes you've got to stand alone. Sometimes you've got to stand strong. Sometimes you've got to say, I don't care what others do and where they're going and what they're doing. I'm not going back to fish for fish. I'm going to stay where I am, and I'm going to stay in the presence of God, and I'm going to stay under the joy of Christ. Adults, sometimes we got to make that choice. We got to say no to those that would lead us down the wrong path. No to those that lead us down the wrong thinking. Those who would lead us in the wrong type of attitudes or the wrong type of fellowship or going to the wrong places. If we want to know the joy of the Lord, we've got to stay on track. Sometimes that's not easy. Peer pressure is hard even as young people, but it's hard as well for us as adults. I want to encourage you tonight, don't leave God's presence. Don't go back to fishing. Don't let anybody take you with them, and don't you go. Here's what happens if we're living out of God's presence. I want you to notice, thirdly, the disciples ended up doing nothing and catching nothing. Look again at verse number 3. Peter said, I go fishing. They said, we're going with you. They went forth. In other words, they left the presence of God. They chose their path, and they entered into a ship immediately. Listen, and that night they caught what? Nothing. Nothing. If you're living out of God's presence tonight, I'll guarantee you, you will bear no fruit. Nothing. They chose to go back to fishing for fish, and in so doing, they caught nothing. Why? Because they weren't where God wanted them to be. Because the Lord says to them and says to us, in my presence is fullness of joy. And maybe tonight you're struggling with God's call in your life and you're wondering, where should I be? What am I supposed to be doing? Can I just encourage you tonight? Don't get out of God's presence. Stay where you need to be. I mentioned the old hymn this morning, Must I Go In Empty-Handed? Many times that's where many people are going because they're out of the presence of God and they've lost the joy of their salvation. And the sad thing is many people just sit there and do nothing about it when they're missing what God really wants to give them. Can I tell you tonight, when I think about these men, it wasn't because they were foolish fishermen that they caught nothing. May I remind you tonight that Peter and most of these gentlemen right here were expertise fisher of fish. Before God called them into ministry, that's what they did for a living. They knew the Sea of Galilee better than anybody. They knew what to do. They knew how to fish and where to fish and what time to fish and the proper nets to use. They had all of that together. But here are these expertise fishermen that knew the proper procedures and were professionals at their trade. They go back to fishing, but because they're out of the presence of God, they caught nothing. I can tell you tonight, folks, if you live out of God's presence, you're going to come empty-handed. You're going to be in vain. Ultimately, it's going to be an empty life that's not going to bring any joy or any satisfaction. The world may try to deceive you. The lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life will try to throw a curveball at you and detour you. But you better be careful, because I'm going to tell you, if you get out of God's presence, you will bear no fruit. And I believe God has called us to be fruit bearers. I love this time of year, don't you? I like it when I drove into the area and started seeing the signs. Sweet corn. Peaches. I love peaches. Just started to come in down in Ohio as well. Man, I'll tell you what, I love going and seeing the peach trees. We got a couple of farms around our area. You can go and pick your own. And guess what, folks? When I go up to the peach tree, you know what I expect to get from a peach tree? Oranges. Peaches. Because you expect to bear the fruit that you so speak about or so desire to have. Many Christians today are not bearing fruit, and it ought not to be that way. We are to be fruit bearers. We are to reap a harvest. We are to bring forth what God has called us to bring forth. And if we're not careful and get out of the presence of the Lord, we're not going to bear the fruit that God wants us to bear. I want you to notice, fourthly, if we're out of the presence of God, when we get far enough away, if we're not careful, we won't even recognize our Lord. Look what took place, if you would, in verse number 4. When the morning was now come, so they had fished all night, and they caught nothing. The sun starts to come up over the horizon, and Jesus comes to the shore. But the disciples, listen, knew not that it was Jesus. I don't think they were too far from the shore, because later on we're going to see that they actually were able to yell to one another, to talk to one another. But the disciples were out in their fish. I know they were tired. They were exhausted. They hadn't caught anything. They were probably frustrated. But they look to the shore and they see a man standing there. And I can just hear them, who is that? Who's that? We don't recognize that individual. Who is that? I believe the problem was not a physical problem. I believe the problem was a spiritual problem. And listen to me, folks, tonight, if we live long enough out of the presence of God, you know what's eventually going to happen? When the Holy Spirit of God begins to knock on our heart and challenge us and rebuke us and try to get us back where we need to be, you know what? You're going to be so far from His presence, you're not even going to recognize it. Our hearts are going to get so cold and so calloused that when the Holy Spirit of God tries to take the Word of God and the Spirit of God and the sword of God and pierce our heart, we have got so far out of the presence of God, we won't even recognize Him. That's a sad state. And yes, that can happen to the Christian. We can be so far removed from the presence of Almighty God that when God tries to speak and He tries to get our attention and He lovingly tries to call us back, we've gone so far out of His presence, we can't even recognize Him nor understand His voice. You ever met somebody that maybe you haven't seen for years and years and years, and they'll come up and say, hey. And boy, you look and say, I know you, but I'm just not quite sure who you are. You know the reason for that is you've been out of their presence for a while. You've been out of their presence. Why is it that some people recognize things in us that we who've been away for a while, and then if you've lived with someone, you don't really notice it? Graying hair is an example. You get away from somebody for a long time and haven't been with them for some period of years and years, and you first see them and you go, wow. Yeah, it's you, but you're a little balder, you're a little grayer. But if you live with them the whole time, if you've been with them, you don't really recognize it because you've been in their presence and you know them. That can happen in our Christian walk. We can get so far away from Christ that we don't even recognize our Lord anymore. Folks, if we're not careful, we can certainly, as Bible-believing Christians, live out of God's presence. And if we do, we're going to head down the wrong path. We may start to make choices we shouldn't be making, like the days before we were saved. We may end up saying, you know what, I'm going fishing for fish. If we're not careful, we'll take others with us, or we'll follow others that are doing the same thing. We'll end up bearing no fruit, and before long, we won't even recognize the Lord, even when He does stand right in front of us. It's a sad thing to get out of God's presence. I thank God for a wonderful, gracious Lord that always in His mercy is ready to woo us back. Let's look on and see what it's like now living in God's presence. We pick up our story, if you would, in verse number 5. Notice Jesus yells from the shore to them, and He calls them children. I like that. My children. See, they were saved. They had been with the Lord. They had walked with Him. They had been in His presence before, and He loved them. And so He says, children, have you any meat? Now, you don't think the Lord knew what happened? Of course He did. He knew they didn't catch anything. He was the Lord. But He wanted them to understand some principles and realize some things. And so notice with me, they answered Him, no. I don't know whether they knew it was the Lord yet or not. I don't think they possibly did. But I want you to notice, first of all, if we start to go back into the presence of the Lord, number one, it brings us to confession. It brings us to confession. The question was asked, guys, children, my sons, do you have any meat? Have you caught anything? No, we haven't. And I want you to understand, in this particular instance, physically the Lord was in their presence. Physically He was there. Now I understand it was Him that came to them, but He was there and they were back in His presence. And when He asked the question, they had to be honest in true repentance and say no. I'm so glad tonight if we allow the Lord to get back into our life, if we will bring His presence back in, thank God we can confess. And 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to cleanse us from all iniquity, all sin. I want you to notice, secondly, it brings us back to blessing. If we will get back into the presence of God, if we will acknowledge Him and repent that we've been out of His presence, notice what happens. He said unto them in verse number 6, cast thy net on the right side. Now, I don't know what the difference between the left and the right is, but something took place here. I thank God I'm right-handed when I read verses like this. Better to be on the right side than the left side. If you're left-handed, I'm sorry. But He says, go to the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. Now, I believe with all my heart they could have questioned God. They could have even argued with Him. But they obeyed. Listen, and they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Wait a minute. They had been fishing there all night. They had been looking. They were professionals. They had been following the proper procedures. But listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight, the problem was they weren't in fellowship with God. They chose their own path, and they left the presence of God. But God, in His mercy, comes back and, so to speak, knocks on their door and says, listen, obey Me. Follow what I say. Cast thy nets on the other side. And if you do it, you're going to be blessed. And they did it, and they were blessed. And they received a multitude of fishes. Thank God, if we get back into the presence of God, it brings us back to the blessings of God. Maybe you're tonight out of God's presence and you're praying and seeking God and you say, I don't know why I can't hear. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what's wrong in my life. Let me ask you, are you in His presence? Or have you stepped out of it? Have you gone back fishing? God says, if you will come back, you will confess. And once we do confess and admit that to the Lord that we've been out of His presence, God can now begin to bless us again. The Bible says, I love what it says in verse number 6, they were not able to draw it. There was so many fish packed into that net. They all got together and they were pulling that net and it was so many blessings, they couldn't even pull them into the boat. Why? Because they're in the presence of Almighty God. Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior. Folks, I don't understand all the ways God works in all things, but I understand this, in His presence is fullness of joy. And if we will be there, God has promised to bless us, and many times there might be multitude blessings. And I wonder tonight, if we're living out of the presence of God, how many blessings are we missing in our walk with God? How many blessings are floating by because we're not where God wants us to be? Sad thing sometimes how Satan can deceive us and dupe us and detour us and destroy us into missing so many of the blessings of God. I want you to notice thirdly, if we do what God tells us to do and we get back into his presence, it will bring us fruit. Notice verse number 7, therefore the disciple whom Jesus loves saith unto Peter, of course that was John, it is the Lord. Isn't it an amazing thing? These guys walked with the Lord for 3 years and followed him. They saw him in his resurrected power, but still it had to be proven them to again who the Lord Jesus Christ was. And finally, after this miracle, John finally gets it together and says, Pete, I think that's the Lord on the shore. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat onto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from the land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. I love that last phrase. They couldn't get him into the boat, so they just had to hook it up to the boat and drag them in. Folks, I want you to know, if we get back into the presence of God, guess what? It will produce and bring forth fruit for our labor. It will bring forth fruit. The Lord Jesus Christ here told them what to do. They obeyed. It brought them back into the place of blessing. And in that blessing, they were able to drag back to shore nets full of fish. It brought fruit for the labor. Let me ask you individually tonight, Christian, are you in the presence of God? If you are, there'll be fruit for your labor. You'll find joy in the presence of God. But are you there? Are you where to need? I'm not asking, are you saved? I think you're saved. If you've accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, thank God, it is eternal life. You're saved, but are you living in his presence? Are you understanding that and enjoying the blessings and bringing forth fruit, dragging in the fishes, so to speak? We can't help but know and see the blessings of God when we live in his presence. But I want you also notice this, it brings us back into sweet fellowship. It brings us back into sweet fellowship. Verse number 7, the men all recognized it was the Lord. And in verse number 9, when they finally got back to shore, as soon as they came to land, listen, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid thereon and bread. And Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Don't you like the way the Lord says things? Bring back the fruit. Bring back the blessings that you all caught because you were living in my presence and you obeyed me. You see, it's a partnership, isn't it? Sometimes we want God to bless, but we don't want to be in his presence. Oh God, I want you to control my life. I want you to bless me. But friends, he can't do it if you're not living in his presence. Oh God, I want the best of life. I want the right person to marry. I want to make the right choice of a job. I want your blessings upon my life. But folks, he can't do it unless you're living in his presence. We can't fill our hearts and our minds and our souls with the lust of the flesh and the eyes and the cares of this world and all that it has. You can't do that and have God's blessing. It's not going to be there. But when you get in his presence and you're where God wants you to be, then he begins to pour forth the fruit of God, and then the blessings begin to abound. And you can know what God wants, and you can sense the joy of the Lord in your life, but you've got to be in his presence. So many times as Christians, we want it, but we don't want God's presence. Because we know his presence is powerful. And we know his presence is directive. We know his presence is directive. It's going to lead us and show us what we want. And sometimes we know, but we want to fight it. We want to do it our way. But if you're going to have the joy of the Lord, you're going to have to be willing to submit to God's presence. They're able to drag the nets and the fish, and they get to land. And when they get there, I want you to notice it brings sweet fellowship. Isn't God so good? I think if I had been in charge there, they probably would have got to land. And I probably said, all right, see what happens when you don't do it my way. I told you before to live in my presence, and there you go off on your own again, and you don't catch any fish. When are you guys going to learn that lesson? No, they get back to land. And what's the Lord done? He's got a fire prepared. Remember, they've been up all night fishing. They were tired. They're exhausted. Probably hungry. But the God of mercy and grace and his love and goodness has a nice little fire prepared. And he's got some bread ready. He says, come on, bring the fish you've caught. And I believe he got the fish there on the fire and got it all cooked up. In verse number 11, Peter went up and he drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet not the net break. And Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. Isn't that great? Come on and dine. Let's sit down, guys. Let's have some fellowship. That's why I believe the Lord Jesus Christ was a Baptist. Come and eat. Amen. One of the Baptist distinctives, thou shall have food and fellowship. Amen. Man, he said, let's sit down and let's just fellowship. You're back in my presence. Let's sit around and let's just enjoy it together. That's the God of all mercy, the God of all grace. That's the one that Jeremiah wrote about in the book of Lamentations when he said, great is thy faithfulness, thy mercies are new every morning. In the morning, he prepared the fire. He got the fish and bread together, and they fellowshipped in the Lord's presence. I can't think of a more beautiful picture from the New Testament that describes Psalm 16:11, in thy presence is fullness of joy. Can you not see those men with their Lord on that early morning after a hard night just fellowshipping, just enjoying God's presence, sitting together, talking about what took place, the miracle that the Lord did, and the Lord invites them to come and dine. None of the disciples in verse number 12 asked him, who art thou? Because they knew it was the Lord. And friends, listen to me today. If you get back into the presence of Almighty God and know the joy of thy salvation, you'll have no problem recognizing Christ in your life. You'll have no problem recognizing Christ in your choices and your decisions. You'll have no problem discerning the Lord's will for your life, what you should do, where you should go, if you're living in the presence of God. So my question tonight, again, is this. Are you in or are you out? If you're out of his presence, you're not going to see the Lord. You're not going to know the Lord. You're going to be doing your own thing. You're going to bear no fruit. You'll probably end up taking others with you, or you'll follow somebody that's doing the same thing. You're going to be all messed up, and you're not going to understand what God is trying to do or how he's trying to work in your life. But if you'll come back and get in the Lord's presence, it'll bring you to confession, and then it will bring the blessings and the fruit and the sweet fellowship and the joy of the Lord that God wants you to have. Are you in or are you out? The call is summoned. Come and dine. Father, thank you for your word and thank you for this wonderful message from John chapter 21. Lord, this isn't a question tonight if we're saved. It's a question if we're in fellowship. And I pray tonight that we'd honestly look at this question and ask, are we in or are we out? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're here tonight, you're saved, you know the Lord, you love him. But let's be honest about it tonight. Maybe you can say, you know what? I'm not in fellowship tonight with the Lord. I've allowed the cares of this life. I've allowed the flesh, the things of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life. I allowed things to overtake. It's not that I'm not saved. I love the Lord. I know that. But preacher, I can see tonight that I'm not in the fellowship with God I need to be. I'm not in his presence. And I need to get back. You say, how do you do it, preacher? Just like we read in the story, it starts with confession. That's being willing to admit I'm out of God's presence. I'm not reading my Bible like I used to. I'm not praying like I should. I'm not serving the Lord like I once did. All these things lead us away from the presence of God. But tonight, I want to get back in. I want to walk with the Lord. I want to come back and dine with him. I want to produce some fruit. I want to know the blessings of God. And friends, remember this. In the presence of God is fullness of joy. That's where the greatest blessings are going to be. But we've got to be willing to be there, and the choice for that is up to you. Tonight you'd say, preacher, I want to get back and dine. God has challenged my heart tonight. Would you pray for me? Would you raise your hand around the auditorium this evening? God bless you. I appreciate that. Thank you for those hands tonight. Hey, it is a choice we have to make. The Lord Jesus Christ called to his disciples to come and dine, but you know what? They could have said no. But thank God they didn't. When they came to shore, the blessings began. You can't know that until you are saved. Maybe tonight you'd say, "Preacher, I'm not saved. If I were to die tonight, I'm not sure I'm going to heaven." My friend, Jesus Christ loves you. He is the God of all mercy. He wants to save your soul. Tonight you'd say, "I'm not sure I'm going to heaven, but I'm concerned. Would you please pray for me?" Would you raise your hand real quick tonight around the auditorium? If I were to die tonight, I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. Would you pray for me? Would there be any? Let's all stand together. I'm going to ask again that we keep our heads bowed and our eyes closed.